Today's Big Brother live feed update is sponsored by TrueCar. There's something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know. Using TrueCar can help you also buy a used car. In fact, there's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy a new or used car, you can get upfront information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better buying experience through the TrueCar certified dealer network. You'll see what other people paid for the car that you want, so you can know what a fair price is and you can feel confident. And with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing, so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the new or used car that you want as easily as Paul gets whatever he wants in the Big Brother house. And best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with your Friday Big Brother live feed update. And back here on a Friday morning with Alex Kidwell and Taryn Armstrong. Guys, how's it going?
It's going great.
Yes. It's going.
It's going. It's going. Okay, so we are here to bring you an update. Again, not the busiest morning, certainly not the busiest Friday morning on the Big Brother live feeds, but we'll cover everything as it stands right now. Hopefully, the calm before the storm. Alex Kidwell and I were out late last night. We went to go see the Emoji Movie to get ready for. I'm going to be recording with Tyson Apostle and Danny later on this morning a full Emoji Movie recap.
Very excited about this. I've been looking forward to having somebody tell me just how great this movie is.
So. Yeah. Maybe later on, if we run out of things to talk about, I could tell you which emoji represents each person in the Big Brother house. But I guess so where we last left things off, Alex was the HOH, and she was going to have to come up with who were going to be the initial nominations for the week. Taryn, can you just take us through a little bit of how that played out last night?
Well, initially, Alex had talked to Jason and said maybe we should do Elena and Matt as the pawns and then, you know, try to backdoor Cody. And then potentially if Cody gets safety, we'll take Matt out. Then, of course, Paul sort of gets up there and gets his hands and everything. And Paul says, nah, we shouldn't nominate Matt or Raven because we don't want to piss them off if we don't have to. Mark and Elena are already pissed off, so we might as well just nominate them. And then we'll take out Mark if Cody gets safety because Elena's not going to work with Cody. So that makes the most sense. And Alex, of course, was like, yes, that does make the most sense. You are right, Paul.
Mm-hmm. So, Alex, in terms of how this is going through, is this all just working like a well-oiled machine for Paul, or is there any pushback from the bigger group at large?
Nope. Things seem pretty smooth. It's pretty smooth sailing through pretty calm seas right now, it would appear. The vast majority of conversation last night, you know, from my perspective at least, was just, hating on Jessica now that she's gone. I mean, nobody is really, they talked like they're, you know, really excited to play the game once they get the jury, but here we are and let's do something. Nothing's really transpiring.
Well, what was the reason why everybody was anti-Jessica last night? Was it because of her speech?
It's a factor.
Yeah, they were not a fan of her speech. They were like, Elena, you had such a great speech. You really played it right. Unlike Jessica, you were very funny, Elena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what they wanted from Jessica in that spot. I mean, she did get voted out of the house. Was she just supposed to say, thank you for voting me out? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Well, we talked about it last night where it's like you said that Paul always turns the thing around and he did turn this around. He was like,
he's good.
Well, I guess I'm going to win the game, guys. Like, oh, man, screw me. It worked. I don't know. Like, he does it.
Yeah, Bro was like that. Well, that's not going to work for him.
Your boy is going to be in a higher tax bracket now. I guess Jess is right. I better start planning for my taxes and my estate because I'm going to win all this money. I guess she knows everything. Yeah. Okay.
It's very effective.
He's very good. He really is Teflon. I don't know if it's sort of the low bar of the other competitors or you really have to give him a lot of credit in what he's been able to do. He is the master of spin.
Yeah, that's the, you know, that's always the question, is how much of this is just really, really talented and skillful, and how much of this is just like, you know, all Josh seems to want to do is talk about like, Josh is stupid because I am 23 and I do have a business and I am smart. So like, that's still what he's on. There's a lot of people who just aren't catching up anytime soon.
Someone actually let me know last night on the when it aired on CBS, the subtitles or whatever, the closed captioning, it actually spelled drought wrong when they were talking about the drought. So, hey, Josh is smarter than whoever's doing that.
Yeah. Okay, so that things are working for Paul right now. And, of course, they still have Cody as a big meatball target to go after. I think the issue for Paul is going to be once they get Cody out of the game and how they're able to pivot from that. But, Taryn, how is Cody reacting to the current situation that he's in?
I mean, it's going the way it's going. You know, that's just the way it goes. I'm already going to go to the have not room. I'm already eating slop. So I'm just going to have to win that temptation competition.
Yeah. Now, Alex, I know there's been a lot of talk in the house where Paul is trying to politic it, where they're very concerned about Cody potentially throwing the temptation competition to get himself into the veto. Why on earth do they think that Cody would try to throw the temptation competition instead of just go all out and win the temptation competition?
Yeah, I mean, they're overthinking it. It's because they did it last week, like, and they were able to do it successfully. Cody and Jess together won one and one lost on purpose. So, you know, that's a line of thought that they've demonstrated. So they've had all this time to just sit together in a room and pretend they're a team that's all united against this one guy. So it's just a lot. It's too much downtime to speculate about how we're going to get rid of him. And it hasn't happened yet. So until it happens, it's just going to continue to be a revolving, just whirlwind of conversation.
I think Paul's idea is that, you know, if Cody throws the temptation competition, it guarantees him a shot in the veto competition, which will allow him a 1 in 6 shot versus a 1 in, you know, 10 shot at winning a competition. So the odds are better. Obviously, though, I think Cody looks at it from the perspective of, I'd rather have potentially 2 shots at winning a competition than hope that I'm in the veto and do that. So
yeah,
they're kind of trying to cover all their bases.
I don't think that their odds are necessarily right. Sure, that Cody, and I don't think that Cody's odds necessarily of winning the temptation competition are 1 in 10. There's probably maybe only 2 or 3 people in the house that could beat him in any given competition. So he's probably got a 1 in 3 and 1 in 4 shot to win the temptation competition. And then when we get into random draw for the veto, there is no more ring of replacement. Now you have the opportunity where, you know, there's going to be, what, 3 people that are already going to be competing in that, the nominee, and then potentially, or I guess the 3 nominees at that point. And so then are there only 2 people drawn at that point into the
2 draws until we get rid of that comp? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not likely that he's going to be picked.
Well, it's not likely, but it's also not necessarily crazy. So what is it?
Right.
That there are how many people left in the house at this point? We're down to
11.
Yep. So I guess it would be at that point, he has a 2 in 8 shot of getting pulled into that. So again, a 1 in 4 shot of playing in that. And then ultimately out of that 6, then a whatever out of 6 shot, if you want to give him more than one potential opportunity, say Christmas gets pulled into it. So again, it's a complicated number, but it's not exactly what they're planning on. I saw some talk that Paul could potentially be saying that he's going to throw the temptation competition, Alex. Is that just sort of a sucker is born every minute?
Yeah, that's sort of that.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll throw the temptation.
Your boy's just throwing
it. You throw
it too. There.
Make sure you throw it also. Make sure you do it. I'll be also throwing it.
Yeah, you will. I'm sure of that.
It's very much the sort of thing where it's like, no, I'll totally do it, but it does kind of make more sense for you to do it, I guess. Maybe you should do it. I really want to, but man, it does make more sense that you do it because I got these questions down pat and like, sorry.
Yeah. Taryn, in terms of Mark and Elena, are they just, you know, willing participants in this plot to backdoor Cody this week? Are they just along for the ride, or are they very concerned about being involved in this?
Mark and Elena right now feel like we need Cody to leave, because if Cody doesn't leave, it's going to be one of us. So they're going to work with the big group to do whatever they can to get Cody out. They're not interested in protecting Cody because, as far as they're concerned, they can't protect Cody and themselves. So it's just a matter of, like, how do we, like, grease the wheels to let Cody go this week, and then maybe we'll have another shot next week to get power and somehow change this game around.
Another shot to do what?
Somehow.
I mean, we're really just delaying the inevitable. I mean,
Mark needs to win the HOH. That's really a hit.
But to what end? What would that even do for, like, a one shot of glory then before ultimately going out of the house? That nobody seems to really want to try to turn the ocean liner around. At some point, you need to have a group.
Well, if he can play it right. Like, if you, all you need is one, like, rightly played HOH, right? Where if Mark is HOH, he brings Paul up, Paul says, don't put me up, put Matt or Raven up. They're the ones you should send home. And then flip that around, turn Matt and Raven on Paul. Now all of a sudden you've got some numbers, put Paul up on the block. You can maybe send him home. Even if you don't, you've maybe pulled some allies over. You've exposed Paul for what he's doing. I mean, that's what a, like, good player of Big Brother would do. Who knows what Mark would do?
Alex, I think it's really key for Paul to have Cody really stay confrontational with the house. And it doesn't seem as though he is taking that tack. Do you think that there will be more baiting of Cody to try to keep him antagonizing the group at large so that Paul can keep pointing to him as the evil person that they're doing battle against and keep that moral high ground?
Hard to say. I don't know. I mean, I feel like at times that was, like, some of the worst things Paul was doing. Like, it was like potentially revealing at times when he was getting too involved and, like, emotionally, you know, invested in, like, some of those fights. Like, some of the best stuff he was doing was just ignoring it. And, like, you know, maybe Josh will still get into it every now and again, but, you know, I think Paul's better off, like, removing himself from that situation pretty much entirely. And yeah, I mean, then he's just can go about doing his thing again, where he doesn't say anything. And this is like, Mark, why didn't you stand up for Josh? It's like, well, no one stood up for Josh. Why are you going to take it out on Mark? Like, it's just, he's doing a very good job of setting up the next target in the house. And these people aren't, you know, like we're talking about with Mark and Elena, they're not, like, doing anything to try to say, like, oh, well, if I'm next, I need to change up my game here. It's more like, well, if I don't do anything, hopefully I won't be next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Hope is not a strategy, Karen. So let's talk about Alex and the HOH letter that she got last night from a unusual source.
Yeah. What? I don't get it. Like, I can't remember the last time somebody got a letter from their ex. I mean, I guess Aika got a video from her ex, but he was, like, the father of her children.
Yeah, so. It came with kids.
Yeah. it's a strange thing to happen, I guess.
Okay. What was her reaction to the Al X?
I don't think she minded too much. I think she was kind of like, I think she was happy to see a picture of him, but then it was kind of weird when it was like pictures and a letter and all of that.
Don't you have any friends? Like, what's going on here?
I guess they recently broken up. They've been together for a couple of years. So, but I mean, her whole goal now is to, like, piss Jessica off by, like, cuddling up to Cody. So this probably isn't helping with that plan.
Now, is she actually going through with that, or that's just what she said last night?
That's just what she said last night.
Alex Kidwell, what about in terms of the Cody-Alex relationship? We touched on this a little bit last night, and I saw that Cody was trying to at least on some level make a plea to Alex of, like, hey, I would never go after you. Is he having any success in making inroads with Alex Au?
No, I mean, not really. I think, you know, that kind of window of communication was open at a point, you know, several weeks ago. I just think it's at a point now where, you know, him and Jessica have isolated themselves so thoroughly over the last, like, 2 weeks that, I mean, really, they've just gone ahead and, you know, the game has been played without them. I mean, they're operating and have been for some time as though, like, you know, Jessica and Cody, it's only a matter of time. They're the next to go. I mean, you know, really, you know, Kevin tried to do a little bit of work last week, like we saw on the show, to try to find a way to maybe use Cody moving forward. And just with the way they've been so overtly involved with all like the drama in the house, like, it pretty much makes it impossible to, you know, rope him back into any conversation because everyone is getting together in rooms to talk about how much they hate him. So it really makes it difficult.
Taryn, what about the rest of Alex's inner circle in Kevin and Whistlenut? They're all on board with everything that's going down so far?
You know, it's kind of hard to tell because they're obviously on board with the plan to get Cody out. But I think if Cody does get safety, the backup plan is something that's going to be a point of contention because, as I mentioned, Jason talked about wanting to take out Matt instead of Mark or Elena. And we know that Jason has a good relationship with Mark. And if Paul is trying to push that, I feel like there was already part of Jason that was kind of like, you know, Alex and I already made a plan and now Paul is kind of butting in and changing up the plan. Who knows what will happen if Paul really ends up having to push Mark, because I could really see Jason pushing against that, because Jason will be like, this is RHOH. Why is Paul getting to tell us what to do? And so that could lead to some tension.
Alex, if we are all on team feeds, what do we think is going to be more upsetting to the status quo, where Cody wins the safety in the temptation competition, or Cody ends up getting into the veto competition by hook or by crook and ends up winning safety there?
Oh, I think probably the veto competition, because if they were trying to backdoor him, he's in there and he wins safety. Like, yeah, you know, who knows? I mean, he could really disrupt things by trying to save Mark. I don't know that he would, but he should. I mean, he really should. He should try to be doing things to ingratiate people to himself and win allies. If they're going to be foolish enough to leave him off the block and he's able to somehow gain safety, then yeah, I mean, that gives him more power in the game. That gives him opportunity to, you know, actually make some kind of a play here. But, you know, the real trouble with Cody, it's just, you know, ever since he's gotten back in the house, pretty much every conversation he's had where someone is trying to start something or throw him some kind of lifeline, it seems like he's walking away from all those conversations like, yeah, I'm going to agree to their face, but I'm not trusting any of these people moving forward. And it's just, you know, no one's going to work with you if you're not, you know, you can have that one conversation, but then nothing ever comes from that. You never really establish anything going forward because you seem like you're done trying.
Okay. He's a mercenary at this point. yeah. Jenny asks the question, do you think that the weird speaker messages are going to be part of the temptation competitions as it wasn't part of the HOH? Taryn, is that the conventional wisdom right now?
That is the theory, because they continued to play after the HOH had already happened. So that's why Paul was saying, it doesn't make as much sense for me to throw it since I know these questions really well. I have a good chance of winning in case Cody tries to win. And it's not a great sign for Cody, because Cody has not been the best at studying, especially when Jessica was in the house. He was kind of preoccupied. Any of these studying competitions have not been his forte.
But so what else does he have to do at this point? I mean, I guess that what you're saying is that
when Jess was in the house, he had plenty to do.
Yeah, the noises have stopped. But I mean, he certainly could be in like the Kevin Martin zone where he has everybody else has shunned him. He has nothing else to do but study for these competitions.
Well, you can't study what you were too busy having sex to pay attention to when it first happened.
Fair point. As Jess Jenner says in the chat, preoccupied baby making.
That's right. Look, yeah.
She's very distracting. Yeah. I will say what you want about Jessica. Very distracting. Okay. Let's take another couple of questions before we sign off. This is, will Jason and Mark start the coup de Paul? Taryn, do you feel like that if there is a resistance against Paul, are Jason and Mark at the center of it?
I think it's possible for sure. The problem has always been Paul's relationship with Alex, which will probably prevent Jason from jumping on board with Mark. However, like I've said this before, but we're like, if Mark wins in HOH, maybe next week, if Mark survives this week, he wins HOH next week, wants to make a move against Paul, I could easily see Jason being a sort of silent advisor saying, here's what you need to do. You need to put him up against this person and then like secretly working against Alex's interests in order to get Paul out so that he can continue to work with Alex further down the line. I could easily see that happening. I think Jason is one, like, he wants to do it. Alex is the only thing that's holding him back. So there's a potential there, but it has to be under the right circumstances.
Yeah, he does have good instincts, Jason. And that's why it's really frustrating, I think, that he knows nothing about the game and that he came in so clueless, because he second guesses his own instincts based on his total inexperience. And Alex doesn't know what she's doing, but he assumes she does because she talks about herself like she's a huge fan of this game. And so he's like, well, I guess Alex would know, when she's like, no, we're not doing that. Don't make me hit you all the time. It's like, well, you know, maybe he should hit you back because you're the one not making any sense.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see Alex write in her HOH letter this week that she knows that she loves Paul more than he loves her.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't know it, but it's true.
Yes. Jenny wants to know, what will it take to open Alex's eyes to Paul? Taryn, is there anything that you think could happen the rest of this week where Alex starts to come to her senses and say, like, wait a second, Paul is not as invested in me as I am in him?
I think it would be really difficult. And the problem, the main problem is that Paul actually does have Alex's best interests in mind. He really does want to take her down to the end, which is a pretty good spot for her. Like, say what you want about Alex and how she's too loyal to Paul. She's playing a pretty good game to get to the end, and she's decent at these competitions. Like, she could easily, you know, squeak out a couple wins, knock Paul out at the end if she's capable of that, and then win the game. I don't know if she's willing to do that, but once you start to see the money, you start to change your mind about who you're loyal to. So that's a possibility. I think the only thing that could potentially change her, and again, this is like theoretically speaking, it's probably never going to happen, is that if Paul does push really hard for Mark and Jason says, but we have Mark. Why is Paul getting out somebody that's loyal to us, that's not coming after us, in favor of Elena, somebody that is coming after us? And that might start to get her wheels turning, but it's a falsehood. Paul doesn't actually want to do something against her best interests. He actually wants to take her down to the end. So it's going to be really hard to change her mind on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does Elena have anybody else in the house besides Paul?
No.
No, I mean, because at Paul's behest, she pushed away Mark. And yeah, I mean, she's isolated herself to try to, you know, re-ingratiate herself to people who are already done with her. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's not good.
To be fair, like, she does have Mark now. Like, they have reconnected to a large
She
degree.
Wasn't able to lose him despite her best efforts.
Yeah. Hey.
Distracting Elena as well. All right. So we haven't touched much on Christmas, Alex. What is she figuring to do in all this? She's on board 100%?
Just wheel around and stay out of the line of fire. I mean, I think she's still coming off of a week where she tried to like make some moves and, you know, didn't really get caught, but didn't really manage to make anything happen either. So, I mean, I don't know that her relationship with Alex is such that she's going to feel like she can, you know, dictate terms in any way. I think she's just going to go with the group. You know, I do still think that she, you know, is wanting to make some things happen. Like, at some point she may try to make some moves, but I just don't know that it's going to be this week.
Yeah. Christmas wanted to volunteer to throw the temptation competition, because she just wants to be on the block. She
you got to be allowed
something.
To play if you're going to throw it.
and that's the problem, which is that, I mean, Alex basically told her, like, sorry, but if you're like, the point of throwing the competition is that we have a good person to play in the veto against Cody, and like, you're kind of dead weight. Like, like, sorry about it. Yeah. So, yeah.
And at which point she backed up angrily, sped off. Doris, we need a lot more of that, man. That was some of my favorite editing all season.
That's great. Doris is asking, did you see the Snapchat behind the scenes videos? Taryn, I saw you tweet the other day about how Mark was wearing these Snapchat glasses during one of the fights in the house.
Yeah, well, I don't actually follow the Snapchat account, but I did
what
get
is
a...
Is it the CBS account, or is there a Big Brother Snapchat account?
I think it's CBS, like,
CBS Big Brother.
Big Brother, yeah.
CBS
yeah.
Big Brother, okay.
I did. Brent sent me a clip from the Snapchat that was Elena and Raven doing like cartwheels on the grass. And so Raven was standing on the grass, and then Elena does a cartwheel and goes, oh, it's so hot. And she like kind of like trots off because the grass is too hot. And Raven, who had been standing there, notices that Elena had said, oh, it's too hot, and then goes, Oh, it's too hot. And whipped tops off, and Brent just loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Elena, I mean, Raven, yeah, she really does do these things that I'm like, I haven't seen this behavior from anyone over the age of three. It is very interesting. We're like, oh, I could do a cartwheel better than what I just saw because I'm a dancer, so I'm going to do a cartwheel. And then, there was one moment last night where, like, everyone's talking and, like, she wanted to say, so she just, like, pounded the table to, like, get attention. Like, who does this that's not still a toddler? I've never seen this before.
Okay.
It's amazing.
It should also be pointed out regarding Raven and Matt. You know, Matt talked a lot about, you know, he was willing to throw the temptation competition. That seems to be the current plan. But Raven was saying, no, you shouldn't throw the temptation competition. That will look shady because we don't want anyone to know that we're in good with Alex, even though they're not. They think they are. And so you should just be nominated up front and just go on the block as a pawn to begin with instead of throwing the temptation competition. But they don't really care about this plan. So they're just probably going to go through with Mark and Elena.
One other thing that we haven't touched on, Sean mentions that Kevin freaked out last night. Alex, why was Kevin upset with Matt and Raven?
Well, Raven was kind of, I believe, the source of a leak that, you know, Jason has said that Kevin was talking to Cody. Like, you know, that it has been talked about, like, and that's the problem, right? When everyone's, like, working as one big group and there's only one target, it's like everyone's just like, you can't play the game. I mean, you can't make any moves because everyone's just going to run back to the group like, oh, I think Kevin's talking to Cody now. Like, if anyone, they're just, all eyes are on Cody because he's shunned. And so if you, like, make any kind of effort to, you know, do anything, people are just like watching. I wonder why he's talking to the person none of us are supposed to be talking to. I mean, it really is absurd. But yeah, I mean, that's the root of it. You know, Kevin is irritated that, yeah, I mean, he tried to make a little something happen for the betterment of his own game. And it's like he's not going to be able to do it because of the circumstances and of the relationships in the house and the fact that, you know, and even Kevin to a degree. I mean, his selling point was dumb. We're like, if you just, you know, if you protect us, like you won't even have to worry like four weeks. It's like that's not what good players are looking for. They're not looking to not. We see it Survivor all the time. You're not looking for a deal that allows you to not worry for 3 weeks and then be the target at five. You're looking for a deal that puts you in position to maybe win. So if people are just offering you the opportunity to not worry for a few weeks, like, yeah, maybe that's a little stress-free in the moment, but that's not why you joined up for the stressful experience in the first place. So it really is just flawed logic. It's a pitch we see all the time, and it's just so dumb because I feel like if you were putting yourself in someone else's shoes, you'd understand that, like, that's not what someone's looking for from an offer.
My favorite part of the Kevin Raven feud last night was that he even said this straight to Paul. He was like, can you believe she was laughing at every one of your jokes and they weren't even funny? It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a bad pitch. Oh,
hold on. What do you mean? My jokes are killer. Boys love them. Okay. So great stuff today on the update. Of course, we'll be watching to see how the temptation competition plays out. Expect the feeds to be down for a lengthy amount of time as everybody goes through this temptation competition. What time do those typically kick off, Taryn?
It'll probably be in a couple hours. They'll wake them up and do them in the morning. The feeds will go off because they'll have to like go every one by one into the temptation den of temptation, drink their potions. And then there's going to be 10 people competing, probably everyone except for Christmas. And so if it's another timed competition, the feeds might be out all day.
Okay. All right. So we'll see what happens with that. And ultimately, when they come back and then expect the veto to be played on Saturday. No matter what happens this weekend, Taryn Armstrong will be there to cover it all. Taryn, what's the lineup looking like for the weekend on the live feed updates?
We'll be live at noon Eastern on Saturday and Sunday. I believe Liana is still out so we won't get another Liana Saturday. I know. So blame Liana. Tweet at Liana.
Yeah. Hashtag Liana exposed party. What is he doing on Saturday to not be on with Taryn on the live feeds? All right. That being said, check that out. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Saturday and Sunday. And then back to regular schedule during the week. Of course, I will be back on Sunday night. Alex, what's that show looking like?
I think it's going to be me and Brent on with you. I'm still looking to see if I can't get somebody for Sunday night, but it's tough. We're doing them late now with the Game of Thrones, so it's harder to find people who are down for the midnight hour.
Well, I mean, it's still 9:15 on the West Coast, so hopefully we have
There's some West Coast options.
Some West Coasters that are out there to join us along the way. Only a couple more weeks, just three more weeks of the Game of Thrones season, of course. Check out Alex Kidwell on the latest Game of Thrones feedback show over on Post Show Recaps as well. And then one other thing before we sign off today, that Podcast One, our podcasting network, they are doing some cross-promotion with A&E, and they want to let you know about Leah Remini, Scientology in the Aftermath. Season 2 is coming back August 15th, right around the corner, where Leah Remini, of course, from King of Queens and Saved by the Bell fame, she was a notorious member of the Scientology community. She has since left Scientology and is doing the hashtag Scientology Exposed Party, Alex.
Wow. Yeah, I guess clearly she's no longer going clear at this point.
No, she is not. She's delving deeper into the shocking stories of abuse, heartbreak, and harassment experienced by those who left the church and spoken publicly about their experiences. Taryn, it's very similar to when somebody goes outside of Paul's alliance in Big Brother 19. The same sort of thing happens, is a whole mob mentality. The Scientologists come after you.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Jessica railing on Paul after like leaving that whole group,
Jessica
then you'll
is
like
the Leah Remini of this situation. Yeah. I guess Cody is like the Kevin James, and then that's sort of what it's like. So if you want to see what's going on with Leah Remini and her life outside of Scientology, check out Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, kicking off season 2 on August 15th on A&E. And if you want to watch all of season 1 on demand, maybe when the feeds are down, check that out in the A&E app. And also, if you didn't have a chance to watch our recap from Thursday night with Spencer Clawson, I thought that was a very fun episode to recap. I'm sure you've seen Thursday night's Big Brother, but if you haven't had a chance to watch the podcast, we had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs as well from the Thursday night show. So be sure to check that out and make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. All right, everybody. Good stuff today. Looking forward to seeing what happens over the weekend. Hopefully, for the sake of Team Good Feeds, we get at least something of the unexpected variety. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.